Okay, now we're continuing with the seed launch, and we just walked through how you actually, you know, go through the launch. I went through that pretty quickly, but again, just go back to the internal launch for the examples for the copy. Now, you know, I showed you how to do this as a 7-day launch, and really remember the goal is primarily to get at least 30 people into your program, anywhere from, I think, 30 to 100 people in one of these programs is great numbers. Remember, you're only going to have anywhere from 1/3 to 1/2 the people showing up on each call. So even if you had 60 people showing up on each call, then, you know, or I'm sorry, if you put 60 people into the program, you'd end up with anywhere from 20 to 30, maybe 40 people showing up for each call. That will give you the interaction that you need. So now we get to the start of the program. So this is how you'll run your program. Basically, you will continue, before the program starts, you survey and you identify the questions and the concerns, the problem points, what you really need to cover. And you started doing that all the way back here and here. Now, but after they sign up, you'll put together a bigger, stronger survey that takes the initial information you've gathered, and you know, you ask them more pointed questions about specific topics. Now, when someone joins, you know, back here, the compliance you get in terms of having people take the survey or give you feedback will not be that great. But once people sign up for the program, now you will get higher compliance. And by compliance, I mean when you ask them to take a survey, whether they actually will take the survey and spend the time to give you good information. So with the survey, let me go ahead and put in, I use surveymonkey.com. That's typically my favorite that I like to use. Another one that I have used is AskMyList.com. For some reason, I always end up tending to use SurveyMonkey. I don't use this one quite as much. It's not as flexible. In some ways, it works better to get the information back out. But I tend to use SurveyMonkey. So you can send people through a survey. Once they've signed up for your program, you'll tend to have greater compliance. Then what you'll do is, typically, as I mentioned earlier, I'll do this as a weekly teleseminar, and I focus on the top questions. You will have a topic for each week. So what I do is before each week, before each teleseminar, I do a survey asking them what are their top questions about that topic. So if you're teaching how to play guitar, maybe the first week might be something about making your basic chords. So then you would ask them maybe it's how to make an E chord and an A chord and a D chord. Or, you know, and you would ask them, what are your top questions about making an E chord or an A chord or a D chord? And so then you take those questions, and that helps you narrow in the focus of your teleseminar. Then after the teleseminar, you do a survey and you ask them what you needed to cover, you know, what wasn't clear from the last teleseminar. And then you ask them, what are the questions about what the next topic? Maybe the next week it's going to be about strumming the guitar and rhythm. And so, okay, last week was there anything that we didn't cover about playing the A chord that you need me to cover better? And then the next question would be, and next week we're going to be covering, you know, your right hand and playing rhythm. And so what are your top questions about playing rhythm? And so every week you're gathering feedback on your prior teleseminar plus your next teleseminar. Now, in terms of actually running the call, here's a few resources for you. Freeconference.com and freeconferencecall.com. They're both ways to set up free conference calls. Frankly, I've used one of these, and I tell you the truth, it's been several years, so I frankly can't remember which one of these I've used. But if you go to their websites, you can get a pretty quick idea about what they offer. So, I mean, they're both free, so try them both out. VoiceText.com is a paid service. If you're charging people to get into your program, the branding, you know, the problem with using a freeconference.com is, or freeconferencecall.com, I think, is every time someone calls in, they're going to hear, you know, this is freeconference.com. If you want your own free conference calls, you know, dial this number or go to this website. And if people have paid you to be on your thing, especially like if you were able to pull it off like I did and have a high-priced program, then I think it's a little cheesy. It's not great branding if people are know that you're using this free service. So you might want to spend the money for a paid service. I think these two probably also have paid services you can use. Here's another one that I've used with pretty good success, voicetext.com. I think they tend to be one of the higher priced providers out there. If none of these three work for you, you can just Google Bridgelines, which is Bridge Lines, Bridgelines. There's a lot of people that want your business. Another one I've used is AccuConference.com. This is a very high priced one. If you look at how many lines you get for how many dollars you spend. But the benefit you get from AccuConference is you're able to mute and unmute lines individually. So if you have 30 or 40 people on the call, or let's say you have 50 people on your call, if you open up the lines to take questions, there'll be a lot of noise from those 50 people. And almost surely there'll be someone that has you on hold, and you'll end up, everyone will hear their hold music, and it'll just be a complete nightmare. So if you want to be able to interactively take questions during your call, then AccuConference is a great solution, because you'll have a web interface, and from the web interface, you're actually able to, people can raise their hand, so to speak, if they hit a hotkey button, and I forget what it is, but you know, if they hit *1 or something like that, then you'll see that they've got a question or comment on the web, and basically the web interface, and then you can click on them and unmute them and take their question. So you're able to take questions plus keep the lines quiet. So that can be a really very useful feature, but it is pretty darn expensive compared to some of the other solutions. Another thing you can do is a webcast, similar to what we've been doing for our Q&A calls. This is where people can actually listen in to you via a website. And one of the really nice features like there is then they can enter in questions. They can type in questions, so you can take those questions on a real-time basis. So this is the link to it. Just go to 6and7.com/webcast. And that's our current provider of choice that we're really happy with right now. Now, one thing you will absolutely want to do is record your teleseminars. Now, any one of these, I think, certainly AccuConference automatically records all your calls. VoiceText will record your calls for you. These two, you'll have to check. They might be they might cost more, or it might be included for free. I don't know. I haven't used them in quite a while, but I'm pretty sure they do offer a recording option. So any one of these, and these guys will record it for you automatically as well. So any of these will record, but the record quality is not going to be super high. That's just the reality of things, is that it's, you know, your record quality from a teleseminar Bridgeline is not the best. In my experience, AccuConference is higher record quality than these other ones, but it's still not fantastic. Plus, if you're going to do one of these calls, it's a big investment of your time and energy. And so basically what I'm saying is I think you should have a backup plan. So even if you are going to use these guys to record for you, I would record the teleseminar on your end in your office as well. So for recording a teleseminar, you use their Bridgeline service as a backup, and then you want to record on your machine. You can record just using USB microphone, typically a USB headset, in which, in this case, I would actually have the headset on and be talking to the headset, and then I'd be also talking into the phone at the same time. So basically, you're picking up, you're recording from your USB mic right into your computer while you're talking on the phone. So if you just go to like Amazon.com, you can find a headset. Plantronics is a brand that I've had good luck with. In fact, let me just pop over there right now and show you what I'm using. So here I am on Amazon. I just typed in Plantronics USB. I think if you go with like this DSP-400, I don't even know what the difference are between these. It's $35 here, $48. I think I've used either the 400 or the DSP-500. I can't remember. These just plug right into your USB port, and they work pretty well. You know, for the real pure audio files, the DJs out there, they're not going to be happy with the results you get from these, but I think they're pretty darn good. And so what you would do, you'd be wearing one of these. Actually, this would be pretty kludgy, because you couldn't really wear one of these and talk into a phone very, very, very well. So let me show you the alternative solution. But these are great for recording into your computer, and they give you a pretty darn good quality, and they're really simple to use. So this is a little better solution here. Is the Audio Technica 2020 USB. So this is basically more like a traditional microphone. And this way, when you're in the teleseminar, you can have this microphone, you know, sitting in front of you on its stand, and you're holding the phone up to your ear. You're talking into the phone, but this mic is already is also picking you up and running a recording into your computer. That recording you're going to get is going to be a lot better than your bridge line. Now, the next step up from here is what I'm actually using right now, is the Audio Technica 3035. Again, I'm no audio engineer, but an audio engineer told me to use this. And basically, this is a full-out mic. This doesn't go into your USB port. It's got these this connector called the XLR connector, and I don't want to get too technical for you, but basically, you know, here it is with the mic and a stand, and then you end up having to run that into basically what ends up being, it's almost like a sound card, an external sound card. So you run it from the mic, use this cord, and you run it into here, and then that has a USB that goes out into your computer. So you can see the whole package ends up being quite a bit more expensive than just using the 2020. You know, theoretically, this might get you better sound and this conversion thing, which I don't use this one, but you know, they put together a package for you. Basically, what you need is a digital signal processor that will take your XLR inputs and turn it into a USB in your computer. And I know a little bit about this stuff, just enough to be dangerous. But, you know, this is, just take it from me, this is the next step up from going with just a pure USB mic. I know there are some audio engineers out there that don't think the pure USB mic is good enough. So if you wanted to get fancier, it'd be something along this lines. And if you want to take it any further than that, then you're going to have to figure it out for yourself, because I've given you enough lead here. Okay, so let's move along. So whichever mic you choose to use, you're going to have to run it into some software to record on your computer. There's software called Audacity that's free, and it's available for the Windows. I think it's also available for the Mac. I'm not positive about the Mac. Lots of people use Audacity, and they like it. Personally, I just don't like it very much. So I've never been satisfied with it, so I've looked for alternatives. On the Mac, you can use GarageBand. That's built, you know, that comes with your Mac. It's built in, and it works just fine. On Windows, there's one I like called Acoustica, and that's by Akon Akon Digital Media. So it's not at acoustica.com. Don't go there. Do a search for Acoustica and Akon Digital Media, and you'll find it. And that's not a free program, but it's pretty inexpensive. It's like $30 or $40 or something like that. And I like that one a lot better than Audacity. So basically, you need to take your mic, you run it into your computer, and you use this software to record. And then you're going to get a much higher quality, cleaner recording than if you just use the Bridgeline. Now, if you don't want to deal with any of this stuff, then you can just use the recording you get from these guys up here, and it'll be just fine. It's just not going to be as good. Okay, so that was some of the mechanics of the weekly teleseminar. Now, I know that was old hat for some of you, and sorry if I was just reviewing stuff you already knew, if it was boring, but I do know a lot of people really like to know the nitty-gritty of the mechanics of exactly how you do these calls. So that's how you do the teleseminars or the webcasts, and that's how you record them. Okay, so now we already mentioned you do a weekly survey, and the survey is about your previous call and what you need to cover better, what wasn't clear, but also about the next topic and what you're going to be covering in the next call. Now, a big part of this is as you go through this, you identify who your top performers are in your class, who are your best students, who are the people that are really implementing and taking your advice. You really want to focus on them, and you'll generally figure that out just through your surveys. People will answer your surveys. It's pretty easy to find your stars. And when you find the stars, then focus on them and continue to work with them closely. You'll give them extra attention, send them emails, check in with them, because those are the people that are going to end up, doing great with your stuff, and they'll become your raving fans, and they'll be the ones that will be giving you testimonials and hopefully even doing case studies for you. And then, of course, you want to deliver more than you promise. It's really easy to do in these types of programs because instead of doing, maybe you promise 3 weeks, you deliver 4 weeks, or you promise 5 weeks and you deliver 6 weeks. It's really easy to do that. And as you're going through this, you're using the surveys to identify the extra deliverables. And by deliverables, that's just a fancy word for what you give them. So just, this is a very interactive process. You're doing a survey every single week. And, maybe even if you have AccuConference, you're taking live questions on the calls or the webcast, people are typing in questions. It's a very interactive process. So it's real easy throughout this process to identify what the extra bonuses are going to be. So just deliver more than you promised, and you start to create this reputation for over delivery. So that's basically how you run the program. That's, we walk through the first week. Well, you just do it over and over again, depending on how many modules. If you're going to have, look at that. This is how you change it from being, if you look, I have the start of the program. That's the first module. Then the second module. And look at here, I have 2/3 modules and a 4th module. So I'm going to illustrate for you how you change your program from a 3-week program to a 4-week program. This is how you do it. That's it. I mean, I'm joking around here just to show you the flexibility you have in these types of programs. You can do it as a 3-week, 3-module or 3-week type program, or you could do it as a 12-week. It doesn't matter. It's very important that you are teaching stuff you know, or you're bringing in experts to teach the stuff that you know, and that you think hard about how to teach this in the best, most logical manner. But the reality is you have a lot of flexibility in these type of seed programs. And remember, the overall goal is to create a product. And that's why I spent the time to show you how to record it, so you can really focus in on creating a good product. So then, immediately after you wrap it up, then you start building your product. And your big question here is, do you re-record it? Now, I'm such a perfectionist that I always end up re-recording it. I take basically the work I've done in preparing the different modules. I take that work And I look at all the questions. I look at the areas I didn't cover well enough based on the feedback I got, and then I'll re-record it and get, you know, try to get more studio quality and just try to be more polished. Then you have to take a look after the whole thing's over. What else do you need to add? What did you miss? And often, if you're doing one of these teleseminar or webcast type of things, webinar type of things, then transcripts can be very, very powerful. Lots of places to get transcripts done. These are my current favorite right now. These are the people that I've been working with. It's actually been for a couple of years now. Internet Transcribers, not necessarily the cheapest, but they've been doing a good job for me. And then, of course, you want to be gathering testimonials and case studies throughout this process. So that way you end up not only with a great product, but with testimonials and case studies so that you can sell this product as you move forward. So that's the basics of the seed launch. And this is a great way to build a product. It's a great way to start from scratch. It doesn't cost you much. You can actually, if you use freeconference.com, I mean, the costs are basically, there are no costs. I mean, unless you do this, the transcription thing, then I guess there could be costs to getting set up with the microphone and getting set up with the software to record. But otherwise, I mean, there's very, very low costs. And the only thing you need to do is immediately start building your list and focusing on getting a good group of people in so you can interact with those people. And so they can help you create the best product.